welcome on to NBA Recap. Today is Tuesday, March 8th, and we had 8 games on in the NBA last night, so let's get right into them. Starting off in Detroit, the Pistons just edged past the Hawks in overtime, 113-110. In Philadelphia, the 76ers beat the Bulls, 121-106. In Miami, the Heat beat the Rockets, 123-106. In Minnesota, the Timberwolves demolished the Trailblazers, 124-81. In Dallas, the Mavericks beat the Jazz, 111-103. In San Antonio, the Spurs beat the Lakers, 117-110. In Denver, the Nuggets defeated the Warriors, 131-124. And finally, in Sacramento, the Knicks beat the Kings, 131-115. So we will break down all 8 of those games in just a moment, but first, if you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. And if you enjoy the show, consider subscribing or leaving a review. It really helps get the word out. All right, so starting off today in Detroit, where the Pistons just edged past the Hawks in overtime, 113-110. The Pistons were led by Cade Cunningham, the rookie. He had a big double-double, 28 points and 10 assists. And they also got 23 from Jeremy Grant and 19 and 10 off the bench from Marvin Bagley. Whereas the Hawks were led by Bogdan Bogdanovic, he had 22 points in the starting lineup, and then they got a double-double from Trae Young, 14 and 12, although he was much less efficient, 5 of 20 from the field. And then they also got 15 points from DeAndre Hunter, 17 points, and 11 rebounds from John Collins. But this was a really close game throughout. Neither team ever held a double-digit lead. The biggest lead came about midway through the second quarter when the Hawks were up by 9 after a 3-pointer from Danilo Gallinari with 8.5 minutes to go. But the Pistons quickly closed that gap, and then it was just back and forth throughout the rest of the game. Ultimately, some free throws from John Collins at the end of regulation with a second left tied the game up 101 all, so we went to overtime. And then the Hawks just couldn't really keep up with the Pistons in OT. Cade Cunningham knocked down a 3-pointer just a minute into overtime. That one put the Pistons up 105-102, and then a 2-pointer from Marvin Bagley extended the lead to 5, and they were pretty much able to hold on to that 5-point lead throughout the rest of the game. Jeremy Grant also came up with a clutch 14-footer with 55 seconds left. That one re-extended the lead to 5 for the Pistons, and then ultimately DeAndre Hunter was the last player to score for either team. He knocked down a 3-pointer with 42 seconds to go, so that was a clutch shot, but ultimately it amounted to nothing because, like I said, neither team scored from there on out, and so the Hawks ultimately lose another disappointing game to the second-to-last team in the Eastern Conference in the Pistons, and you could really point to the shooting that killed the Hawks in this one. 45% from the field, just 28% from 3. The Pistons were better in both regards. They were 46% from the field, and especially the 3-point shooting, they were 36% from beyond the arc. And then there wasn't really much else separating the teams. The turnovers and the rebounds were very close, and so ultimately it was that 3-point shooting that made all the difference in this game. And so for the Pistons, this win takes them to 18-47. Like I said, they're still in second to last in the Eastern Conference, but they're on a 3-game winning streak, and remarkably, they're 6-4 in their last 10 games. They've been playing much better recently. They're now 2 games up on the Magic in last, and they are just 3.5 games behind the Pacers in 13th. Although, with all that being said, the Pistons still have that negative 9.0 point differential, and that is worst in the conference. And as for the Hawks, this loss takes them to 31-33, so they're still in 10th in the East. They are 1.5 games up on the Wizards in 11th, and they're still just half a game behind the Nets and Hornets in 8th and 9th. Luckily for the Hawks, both of those teams have been struggling recently as well. The Hawks are 5-5 in their last 10 games. They do have a plus 0.7 point differential, which is in fact better than the Hornets and Nets. So we shall see how the play-in game range ultimately shakes out in the Eastern Conference. I would not be surprised if there was some movement ultimately before the end of the season. I could see the Hawks surpassing perhaps one of these teams ahead of them. I don't think that the Wizards or Knicks will be able to jump into that top 10, but you never know. Crazier things have happened. So anyways, we can move on now to the box score. And the Hawks were led, as I mentioned, by Bogdan Bogdanovic. He had 22 points in 39 minutes in the starting lineup. He was 8 of 19 from the field, just 2 of 11 from beyond the arc. He had 5 rebounds, 6 assists, and 2 blocks. They also got a double-double from Trae Young, 14 points and 12 assists, although he was not very efficient, 5 of 20 from the field. He had 2 threes, 4 rebounds, 5 turnovers. Also a double-double for John Collins, 17 points and 11 rebounds in 32 minutes. He was 7 of 13 from the field. He had 2 threes and 2 assists. Then they got 15 points from DeAndre Hunter. He was 4 of 10 from the field in 37 minutes. He had 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. And 9 points for Clint Capella, rounding out the starting lineup. He was 4 of 6 6 from the field in 33 minutes. He had 12 rebounds, 1 assist, and 2 blocks. And off the bench for Atlanta, they got 14 points from the veteran Danilo Gallinari. In 21 minutes, he was 5 of 9 from the field and 3 of 6 from beyond the arc. He had 4 rebounds. 13 points for Lou Williams, the other veteran scorer off the bench. In 17 minutes, he was 6 of 8 from the field and he had 1 rebound, 1 assist. Then they just got 4 points from DeLon Wright in 27 minutes and 2 points for the sophomore big man Onyeka Okongwu. And as for the Pistons, they were led, as I mentioned, by the number one pick in the draft, Cade Cunningham. In 43 minutes, he had 28 points. Now, he wasn't incredibly efficient, 10 of 25 from the field, but he had 2 threes, 6 rebounds, 10 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block, and he was plus 11 in the plus-minus. That was a starter's high. They also got 23 points from Jeremy Grant in 35 minutes. He was 8 of 15 from the field. He had 3 threes, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. 9 points for Sadiq Bey in 32 minutes. He was only 3 of 11 from the field, but he had 2 threes and 6 rebounds. 4 points for Corey Joseph in 22 minutes. He was 2 of 4 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, 2 assists. And Isaiah Stewart rounding out the starting lineup. He only played 10 minutes before going out of this game. He rolled his ankle. He did not score at all in that time. But off the bench, getting the majority of those big man minutes in place of Stewart was Marvin Bagley, the recent acquisition, and he had a big double-double, his best game so far as a Piston. He had 19 points and 10 rebounds in 36 minutes. He was 9 of 16 from the field, and he had 1 three-pointer, 1 assist, and 2 steals with a block as well. So really good stuff for Bagley. And then they also got 13 points from Killian Hayes in 31 minutes. He was 5 of 8 from the field, and he had 4 rebounds, 6 assists. 9 points for Isaiah Livers in 25 minutes. He was 3 of 6 from beyond the arc, and he had 3 steals, 3 assists, and 2 rebounds. 6 points for Kelly Olynyk in 17 minutes. He was 3 of 4 from the field. And 2 points for Rodney Magruder, although he was just 0 of 3 from the field. All right, next up we can move on to Philadelphia, where the 76ers easily defeated the Chicago Bulls, 121-106. Philadelphia was led by Joel Embiid with a huge MVP-caliber performance, 43 points and 14 rebounds. And they also got 16 and 14 from James Harden and 17 points from Tyrese Maxey. That dynamic trio of Embiid, Maxey, and Harden continues to yield positive results. This was just their third game together, and once again, it was a success. Harden was only 5 of 15 from the field, but he was getting it done with the ball handling. Like I said, 14 assists is just incredible. He was setting up Embiid and Thybul and pretty much everybody, but especially on the pick and roll. So really good game once again for Harden. And as for the Bulls, they were led by Zach LaVine. He had 24 points. He was 8 of 19 from the field, and then they also got 23 and 11 from DeMar DeRozan and 19 points off the bench from Coby White. But like I said, this was a pretty comfortable win in the end for the 76ers. They were in control from pretty much the first quarter onwards. They just slowly but surely built up more and more of a lead. They had outscored the Bulls by 5 in the first quarter, and then they maintained that lead throughout the second. But then the third is where they really started to take control of the game. Once again, they outscored the Bulls by 5. It was 29-24, so they were leading by double digits throughout the rest of the game. And in the fourth quarter, they once again outscored the Bulls, this time by 4. It was 33-29, so a comfortable win in the end. It was never really a blowout per se, but the 76ers were always in control, and they shot pretty efficiently, 48% from the field and 40% from 3, whereas the Bulls were just 44% from the field overall and 33% from beyond the arc. And the 76ers were also very clean with the ball. They only had 10 turnovers, whereas the Bulls had 13, although the Bulls did out-rebound Philadelphia 48-38. So that was pretty much the only area in which they dominated. Otherwise, it was all Philly. And so with this victory, they now improved to 40-24. So that is good for second in the Eastern Conference. They have leapfrogged not only the Bulls, but also the Bucks, the 76ers. They are half a game up now on the Bucks in third and 1.5 games ahead of the Bulls in fourth. They are 3 games still behind the Heat in first, though, and they have a plus 2.4 point differential, which is worse than a couple teams below them, but they have been playing very well recently since acquiring James Harden. Like I said, they are 3-0 with Harden in the lineup. And as for the Bulls, this loss takes them to 39-26. So they're down in fourth now in the East. They are 4.5 games off the Miami Heat in first after being tied just a couple of weeks ago. They are 1 game behind the Bucks in third and half a game up on the Celtics in fifth. And the Bulls have a plus 1.4 point differential, which is about 6th best in the conference, so I would imagine they will eventually get surpassed by the Celtics at the very least. They're on a 5-game losing streak. They're 5-5 in their last 10. All right, so moving on to the box score. And the Bulls were led, as I mentioned, by Zach LaVine. He had 24 points in 37 minutes. He was 8 of 19 from the field, 3 of 6 from beyond the arc. He had 8 rebounds, 5 assists, although he also had 5 turnovers. 23 points and 11 rebounds for DeMar DeRozan. He was not very efficient, 6 of 17 from the field, but he was 11 of 12 from the free throw line, and he had 8 assists as well. 13 points for Tristan Thompson, the new big man for the Chicago Bulls, inserted into the starting lineup with no Nikola Vucevic. Thompson was 6 of 8 from the field in 29 minutes. He had 9 rebounds. 11 points for Ayo Dosunmu in 31 minutes, the rookie. He was 5 of 12 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. And Javonte Green, rounding out the starting lineup, had 5 points and 6 rebounds in 36 minutes. Off the bench for Chicago, they got 19 points from Kobe White, the backup guard, in 34 minutes, was 7 of 16 from the field. He had 3 threes, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. Then they also got 8 points from Derek Jones Jr. He had 6 rebounds, 2 steals, and 3 blocks, and 3 points from Troy Brown Jr. And as for the 76ers, they were led, of course, by Joel Embiid. Another masterclass performance. 43 points in 36 minutes. He was 15 of 27 from the field, 12 of 16 from the free throw line. He had 14 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks. He was plus 14 in the plus minus, which was the team high. Incredible stuff once again for the process, Joel Embiid. And then they also got 17 points from Tyrese Maxey in 36 minutes, the sophomore. He was 6 of 13 from the field. He had 2 threes, 4 assists, 1 rebound, 1 steal. 16 points for James Harden. Like I said, this was his least efficient game so far for Philadelphia. He was 5 of 15 from the field, but he had 14 assists, 8 rebounds. He was plus 12 in the plus minus. 8 points only for Tobias Harris. He continues to struggle. He was 4 of 10 from the field, 0 of 3 from beyond the arc. He had 3 rebounds and 3 assists. And then 12 points for Matisse Thybulle, rounding out the starting lineup. He was 4 of 5 from the field in 28 minutes. And off the bench for Philadelphia, they got 14 points from George Niang in 19 minutes only. He was 4 of 7 from beyond the arc. And then they also got 3 points from Danny Green, Shake Milton, and Isaiah Joe, and 2 points from their recent acquisition, DeAndre Jordan. All right, next we can move on to Miami, where the Heat handily defeated the Houston Rockets, 123-106. The Heat were led by Tyler Hero. He was incandescent in this game, 31 points off the bench, including a 21-point second quarter. Overall, he was 12 of 18 from the field and 6 of 9 from 3. Incredible scoring from Hero. He has all but locked up the Sixth Man of the Year award at this point. And as for the starters, they were led by Jimmy Butler. He had 21 points in 29 minutes. He was very efficient as well, 7 of 11 from the field. And then they got 18 and 10 from Bam Adebayo and 11 and 12 from PJ Tucker. And as for the Rockets, they were led by Kevin Porter Jr. He had 22 points. He had 5 three-pointers. And they also got 20 points from the rookie point guard, Jalen Green. He had 4 threes. And 13 points from Alperen Şengün in the starting lineup in place of Christian Wood. It'll be interesting to see whether or not the Rockets embrace the tank from here on out and potentially start some of these rookies like Alperen Şengün or perhaps Josh Christopher, get some of these younger guys a look. Christian Wood was out with an illness in this game. But like I said, in the end, this was a comfortable win for the Heat, but they were actually trailing throughout the majority of the first half. In fact, the Rockets were leading by 12 about halfway through the second quarter after a tip-in from Alperen Şengün. But then from there on out, the Heat basically just dominated the game. They quickly erased that deficit, and by the end of the first half, they had actually taken the lead themselves. They were up by 4 by halftime, and then they just expanded upon that lead even further in the second half. They outscored the Rockets 28-20 in the third, and then 33-28 in the fourth. So it was a double-digit lead throughout the majority of the second half. In fact, it was over 20 by the end. So a really solid victory here for the Heat, and overall they shot unsurprisingly very efficiently, 53% from the field and 45% from three, and they totally dominated on the boards as well. They out-rebounded the Rockets 50-33. Houston was 44% from the field and 30% from three. They did at least not turn the ball over like crazy. They are the league leaders in turnovers, but they only had 11 turnovers in this game, whereas the Heat actually had 15, so that was one area in which the Rockets could take solace, but otherwise, this was a dominating win for the Heat, the Eastern Conference leading Heat, I should say. They are now 44-22 with this victory, so they are not only at the top of the Eastern Conference, they are 3 games up on the 76ers in second. They've got a plus 5.1 point differential, which is second best behind just the Celtics, but they're on a 3-game winning streak, and they're 8-2 in their last 10 games. So the Heat are now firmly and solely in control of that first seed in the East. As for the Rockets, this loss takes them to 16-49. So they are at the other end of the spectrum. They are at the bottom of the Western Conference, 4.5 games below the Thunder in 14th. They are -9.3 in the point differential, which is worst in the entire league. And they are 1-9 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Rockets were led, as I mentioned, by the backcourt, Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green, both of whom scored at least 20 points. So starting off with Porter Jr., he had 22 on 7-of-15 shooting. He had 5 three-pointers, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, although he was -18 in the plus-minus, but 0 turnovers, that's encouraging. And then Jalen Green also had 0 turnovers. He had 20 points on 8-of-16 shooting. He had 4 threes, 3 assists. And then they also got 13 points from Alperen Şengün, who was also in the starting lineup, their second rookie. He was 5-of-11 from the field. He had 8 rebounds, 3 assists, and a block. He was starting in place of Christian Wood. And then they got 6 points from the sophomore, Jayshon Tate. In 25 minutes, he was 3-of-8 from the field, and he had 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. And Garrison Matthews rounding out the starting lineup. He was also starting in place of Eric Gordon, and he was 0-of-5 from the field in 20 minutes. Off the bench for the Rockets, they got 16 points from the third rookie, Josh Christopher. He was 6-of-11 from the field. He had 3 threes, 3 rebounds, and 3 assists. He also had 1 steal and 2 blocks. And they got 14 points from Kenyon Martin Jr. in 33 minutes. He was 5-of-6 from the field. He had 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, and a block. So really solid production from KJ Martin and Josh Christopher off the bench for the Rockets. And then they also got 7 points from Dacian Nix, 4 from David Nwaba, and 4 as well from Bruno Fernando. And as for the Heat, they were led, as I mentioned, by Tyler Hero. He was just incredible, especially in that second quarter. He had 21 points alone in the second. He had 31 points overall in 31 minutes. He was 12-of-18 from the field, 6-of-9 from beyond the arc. And he had 2 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal. He was just incredible, and he was the team high plus 18 in the plus minus. As for the starters, they were led by Jimmy Butler. He had 21 points in 29 minutes, and he was very efficient. 7-of-11 from the field, 7-of-9 from the free throw line. He had 7 rebounds, 4 assists, and 1 steal. And then they got a double-double from Bam Adebayo. 18 points and 10 rebounds in 30 minutes. He was 8-of-15 from the field. A double-double for PJ Tucker as well. 11 points, 12 rebounds, 2 assists. He was 5-of-12 from the field. And then 13 points for Duncan Robinson. He was 5-of-9 from the field. And Kyle Lowry rounding out the starting lineup, did not score at all in 32 minutes. He was 0-of-3 from the field. He had 5 assists and 3 rebounds, though, and he was actually the starter's high, plus 16 in the plus-minus. And off the bench for the Heat, besides Tyler Hero, they also got a season debut for Victor Oladipo, the Heat's new addition. Well, they acquired him last year, but he has not played one game so far for the Heat until now. And he only played 15 minutes. He got a standing ovation when he entered the game. He had 11 points in those 15 minutes. He was 4-of-7 from the field, 2-of-3 from beyond the arc. He had 4 assists, 1 rebound. He had a thunderous dunk. So really good debut for Oladipo in limited minutes off the bench for the Heat. And basically whatever he can give them, it's going to be gravy because they have already been one of the best teams in the entire league without him. And so now adding him, even if he's only contributing in limited minutes off the bench, is going to be a boon for their offense. They've just got so many options now in terms of scorers coming off the bench. They've got Oladipo, Hero, Gabe Vincent, Max Strus. It's just a plethora of capable guys off the bench for the Heat. And that's just the offensive guys. They've also got defensive-minded guys like Caleb Martin and Dwayne Dedmon and Omer Yurtseven. So the sky's the limit for these guys. But anyways, other than Hero and Oladipo off the bench, the Heat also in this game got 7 points from Gabe Vincent in just 3 minutes, 6 points for Dwayne Dedmon in 14 minutes, he also had 6 rebounds, and 5 points for Caleb Martin in 21 minutes, he had 4 rebounds and 4 assists as well. All right, moving along to Minnesota, where the Timberwolves absolutely demolished the Portland Trailblazers, 124-81. This was a total blowout. The Wolves were led by Karl-Anthony Towns. He had 27 points and 13 rebounds in just, 24 minutes in the starting lineup, so he didn't even play for the majority of the second half. And then they also got 19 points from Malik Beasley in 28 minutes, and 18 points off the bench from the backup big man Naz Reid. He got the majority of the playing time in the second half, like I said. And as for the Trailblazers, they were led by Brandon Williams. He had 27 points in the starting lineup. He was inserted in place of Anfernee Simons. Perhaps a bit of tankery here by the Trailblazers. Simons' injury isn't supposedly too bad, so he should be returning at some point. But this squad that the Trailblazers are trotting out right now is pretty, pretty abysmal. They've got Josh Hart, CJ Elby, Trendon Watford, and Drew Eubanks rounding out the starting lineup. They got 14 points from Keon Johnson, the rookie, off the bench. He was actually their second leading scorer, although he was just 3 of 14 from the field. And then they got 11 points from Trendon Watford and Keljan Blevins. They were the only players to score in double digits. So a pretty pathetic performance here by the Portland Trailblazers, and they were totally dominated in every single quarter. They were outscored in the first 31-15, so it was already a double-digit lead by the second quarter, and then they just kept up the pressure of the Timberwolves. They outscored the Trailblazers 30-19 in the second, 29-26 in the third, and 34-21 in the fourth. So it was a huge advantage throughout the entire second half for Minnesota, basically garbage time throughout the third and fourth quarters. And they didn't even shoot the ball that well. They were 41% from the field, 30% from three, and they had 22 turnovers. So really not that fantastic of a game from the Timberwolves by the stats, but they totally dominated on the boards. They out-rebounded the Trailblazers 67-42. That is incredible. And then the Trailblazers were pretty terrible themselves. 27% from the field, 25% from three, and they had 18 turnovers. So a pretty awful game here for Portland. And this loss takes them to 25-39. So they are down in 11th in the Western Conference, but they're just half a game up now on the Spurs in 12th. They are 2 games out from the Pelicans in 10th, so it does not look like anybody at this point is going to be able to catch the Pelicans, who have been playing very well. But the Trailblazers have not. They are 4-6 in their last 10, but they're on a 5-game losing streak, and their negative 6.0 point differential is third worst in the Western Conference. In fact, it is fifth worst in the entire NBA. And as for the Minnesota Timberwolves, this win takes them to 37-29. So they're still in 7th in the West. They're 3 games up now on the Clippers in 8th, and they are 2.5 games behind the Denver Nuggets in 6th. So Minnesota kind of on an island by themselves there in the 7th seed. They would really love to break into that top 6, but it is just really stiff competition because the Mavericks and the Nuggets and the Jazz have all been playing very well recently. In fact, the Nuggets are 9-1, and the Mavericks are 8-2 in their last 10. So not really much of an opening there for the Timberwolves. They are 8-2 as well in their last 10, and they're on a 5-game winning streak. They've got a plus 2.6 point differential, which is in fact 7th best in the West. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Trailblazers were led, as I mentioned, by Brandon Williams. It was actually a pretty solid game for him in 34 minutes in the starting lineup. He was 7 of 18 from the field. He had 2 threes. He was 11 of 16 from the free throw line. He had 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 steals, and a block. Now, he was negative 25 in the plus minus, and he had 4 turnovers, but nonetheless, that scoring is really impressive for Williams. It's his second 20-point game in a row, so I would say that he is a player to watch throughout the rest of the season from a fantasy perspective, except for the fact that they are so deep in terms of the backcourt depth. Unless they're going to be performing some extreme tanking maneuvers, there's just too many guys ahead of them in the lineup. They've got Anthony Simons, who should be coming back. Damian Lillard supposedly could make a return at some point. And then they've got several other guys that are capable ball handlers as well. Justice Winslow also did not play in this game. So anyways, it's been a nice stretch for Williams here, but I don't really foresee this continuing throughout the entire rest of the season. But then they also got 11 points from Trendon Watford in 30 minutes. He was 4 of 8 from the field. He had 7 rebounds, 3 assists. 6 points for Josh Hart, the former Pelican. He was 2 of 12 from the field in 28 minutes. He had 5 rebounds, 4 assists. 5 points for CJ Elby in 30 minutes. He was 2 of 6 from the field. And then just 2 points for Drew Eubanks, rounding out the starting lineup. The big man, he was 1 of 6 from the field in 29 minutes. He had 7 rebounds. And off the bench for Portland, they got 14 points, like I said, from the rookie Keon Johnson in 26 minutes. He was only 3 of 14 from the field, but he was 7 of 7 from the free throw line. He had 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. And then they got 11 points from Keljan Blevins. He was 4 of 6 from the field in 14 minutes. And 3 points from Ben McLemore in 8 minutes. 1 point for Elijah Hughes and Greg Brown III. And those two, Brown and Hughes, were a combined 0 of 11 from the field. And as for the Timberwolves, they were led, as I mentioned, by Karl-Anthony Towns. In just 24 minutes, he had 27 points. He was 8 of 14 from the field, 10 of 15 from the free throw line. He had 13 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. And he was plus 34 in the plus-minus, which was the team high. So really incredible dominance for Karl-Anthony Towns in limited minutes. And then they also got 19 points from Malik Beasley. He was in the starting lineup in place of Anthony Edwards. He was 6 of 16 from the field, 5 of 14 from 3. He had 1 rebound, 1 assist, 2 steals. Jaden McDaniels, also in the starting lineup, had 8 points. He was starting in place of D'Angelo Russell. In 26 minutes, he was 2 of 9 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 blocks. 6 points for Patrick Beverley in 22 minutes. He had 10 rebounds, 7 assists, and 4 points for Jared Vanderbilt, rounding out the starting lineup. He played just 19 minutes. He had 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. And off the bench for Minnesota, they got 18 and 11 from Naz Reid, the backup big man. Like I said, he played 21 minutes, mostly in the second half, in place of Karl Anthony Towns. He was 5 of 8 from the field. He had 2 threes, 1 block, 1 steal. 11 points for Jordan McLaughlin. He played 20 minutes. He was 4 of 8 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, and a block. Then they got 9 points from Josh Okogie, 5 for Jake Layman, 4 for Nathan Knight, 5 points for Torian Prince, 6 points for Jalen Noel, and finally 2 points for Leandro Bolmaro. All right, next up we can move on to Dallas, where the Mavericks defeated the Jazz 111-103. The Mavs were led by Luka Doncic. His incredible streak continues. He had 35 points, 16 rebounds, and 7 assists, leading his team in all three categories. And then they also got 23 points from Spencer Dinwiddie. He was in the starting lineup in place of Jalen Brunson. He and Luka both had 5 3-pointers. And then they got 21 from Dorian Finney-Smith as well. As for the Jazz, they were led by Bojan Bogdanović. He had 21 points on 7 of 11 shooting. And then they also got 19 points off the bench from Jordan Clarkson, 17 points from Donovan Mitchell, and then a double-double for Rudy Gobert, 12 points and 13 rebounds. But this was a really dispiriting loss for the Jazz because they were trailing throughout the entire game, basically. They were outscored in the first quarter 30-24, and then the Mavs just basically kept up the pressure throughout the game. They outscored the Jazz 30-25 in the second, and then 25-19 in the third. So it was a 17-point game in favor of the Mavericks heading into the fourth quarter. But then credit to the Jazz, they did chip away at that lead quite significantly. They outscored the Mavericks 35-26 in the fourth. So they gave them a run for their money, to be sure, but it was too little too late. They had already dug themselves a big enough hole that they could not get out of it at that point. And really, the shooting splits and the rebounding, it was all pretty similar, except for the turnovers. That was the big difference. The Jazz had 14, whereas the Mavs just had 9. So despite not having Jalen Brunson, one of their lead ball handlers, the Mavericks still were very stingy with the ball, only coughing it up 9 times, and that really helped them secure this win in the end. And so with this victory, the Mavs now improved to 40-25. So this was a much-needed win, as they are in 5th, and the Jazz are in 4th, just half a game ahead at this point. The Jazz, with one more loss, would be tied with the Mavericks. That would be devastating, and they're also pretty close with the Nuggets as well. They are in 6th, and they're 1 game behind the Mavericks. So very tightly contested there in the middle of the Western Conference playoff picture. The Mavs are plus 3.4 in the point differential, which is, in fact, 5th best, and they are on a 5-game winning streak. They're 8-2 in their last 10. Incredible run of form here for Luka Doncic and the Mavericks. And as for the Jazz, this loss takes them to 40-24, like I said, just half a game up on the Mavs in 4th, and then they're 3.5 games behind the Golden State Warriors in 3rd. And the Jazz are plus 6.0 in the point differential. That's actually 3rd best in the West, and they are still 7-3 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Jazz were led, as I mentioned, by Bojan Bogdanović. He had 21 points in 31 minutes in the starting lineup. He was very efficient, 7 of 11 from the field and 4 of 8 from beyond the arc. He had 2 rebounds, 4 assists. And then they got a double-double for Rudy Gobert, 12 points and 13 rebounds in 34 minutes. He was pretty efficient, 3 of 5 from the field, 6 of 6 from the free throw line, and he also had 3 blocks. 17 points for Donovan Mitchell, although he was not very efficient, 5 of 19 from the field. He had 2 threes, 4 rebounds, 9 assists, and 1 steal. 13 points for Royce O'Neal in 31 minutes. He was 5 of 8 from the field. He had 3 threes, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. And 3 points for Mike Conley, although he was also not very efficient, 1 of 7 from the field. He had 3 rebounds and 4 assists. And off the bench for Utah, they got 19 points from Jordan Clarkson. In 30 minutes, he was 7 of 14 from the field. He had 3 rebounds. 8 points for Hassan Whiteside, the backup big man. He was 4 of 6 from the field. In 14 minutes, he had 5 rebounds and 2 blocks. 8 points as well for Rudy Gay. In 13 minutes, he had 2 threes and 5 rebounds. And 2 points for Daniel House in 19 minutes. And as for the Mavs, they were led, of course, by Luka Doncic. He had 35 points in 38 minutes. It was 12 of 23 from the field, 5 of 11 from beyond the arc. And he had 16 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals, and a block as well. Incredible numbers once again for Luka. And then they also got 23 points from their new addition, Spencer Dinwiddie. Inserted into the starting lineup, he had 23 points on 7 of 15 shooting. He had 5 threes, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. You really could not have asked for a better debut for the Mavericks for Spencer Dinwiddie. Then they also got 13 points from Dwight Powell, the big man. In 21 minutes, he was 5 of 10 from the field. He had 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, and 1 block. 21 points for Dorian Finney-Smith. In 39 minutes, he was 8 of 14 from the field, 4 of 10 from beyond the arc. He had 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. And then Reggie Bullock rounding out the starting lineup. He was only 1 of 5 from the field. He had 5 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. But off the bench for the Mavericks, they got 8 points from Maxi Kleba in 27 minutes. He had 2 threes, 6 rebounds, 2 blocks. 4 points for Josh Green in 18 minutes, and 2 points for Davis Bertans. He was 1 of 4 from the field. All right, moving along to San Antonio, where the Spurs defeated the Lakers 117-110. This was Greg Popovich's 1,335th career victory as a coach, which brings him level with Don Nelson. So Pop and Donnie Nelson are now tied for most wins as a coach, and Pop just needs one more to become the NBA's all-time winningest coach. So that is going to be incredible. They play the Raptors next, I believe, and so they could definitely win that one. They will certainly win one more game by the end of the season. So Pop will become the all-time winningest coach at some point throughout the rest of the season, but he tied the record in this game with the win over the Lakers, fittingly enough. The Lakers, who are obviously still missing Anthony Davis, were also without LeBron James in this game. So frankly, the fact that they were in this game as closely as they were is a testament to the players that they did have. Talen Horton-Tucker led the way. He was in the starting lineup and he had 18 points on 7 of 14 shooting. And then they got 17 points from Russell Westbrook, Malik Monk, and Carmelo Anthony off the bench. Whereas the Spurs were led by DeJounte Murray. He had 26 points, 10 rebounds, and 8 assists. He led the way in all three categories for San Antonio. And then they also got 18 points from the big man Jakob Poeltl and 18 points as well from Josh Richardson, their recent acquisition from the Celtics. But like I said, this was a pretty close game throughout. The Spurs were leading throughout the majority of regulation, but the lead waxed and waned here and there. They were up by 9 points at the end of the first quarter. It was 31-22 at the end of the first. And then they actually expanded upon that lead pretty significantly in the second quarter. It was a 13-point game after a layup from Keldon Johnson. He put the Spurs up 45-32 with about 6 minutes to go in the second. But then the Lakers started to chip away at that lead. By the end of the first half, they had cut the deficit to within double digits. And then it was pretty close throughout the majority of the third and beginning of the fourth quarters. The Spurs were up by 3 heading into the fourth. It was 95-92. But then eventually they pulled away. The Lakers' offense was just too stagnant at the beginning of the fourth quarter. And the Spurs led by about 5-10 points throughout the remainder of the game. And overall, it was a pretty sloppy game by both teams. The Spurs had 18 turnovers, whereas the Lakers had 15. But the Spurs did shoot quite significantly better than the Lakers. They were 54% from the field and 34% from three, whereas the Lakers were just 47% from the field and 30% from three. So that was really the difference in this one. The Spurs just shot too efficiently, especially in the paint. Jakob Poeltl was dominating down low. He was 6 of 10 from the field overall, as was DeJounte Murray. He was 12 of 20 from the field. So with this victory, the Spurs now improved to 25-40. So they're still in 12th in the Western Conference. They are just half a game behind the Trailblazers in 11th, and then they're 2 games up on the Kings in 13th. And the Spurs still have that pretty impressive point differential, negative 0.1. It's actually 8th best in the conference. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. And as for the Lakers, this loss takes them to 28-36, so they're all the way down in 9th still in the West. They are an entire 5 games behind the Clippers in 8th, and they're just 1 game up on the Pelicans in 10th. And the Lakers are negative 2.2 in the point differential. That is, like, 5th worst in the conference. They are just 2-8 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score. And the Lakers were led, as I mentioned, by Talen Horton-Tucker. He was in the starting lineup in place of LeBron James. He had 18 points in 31 minutes. He was 7 of 14 from the field. He had 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. He was negative 13 in the plus-minus. That was a team low. They also got 17 points from Russell Westbrook and Malik Monk. Westbrook was 5 of 14 from the field. He had 10 rebounds, 6 assists, 5 turnovers. He was 7 of 13 from the free throw line. 17 points as well from Malik Monk. He was 8 of 22 from the field, 1 of 7 from 3. He had 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals. 13 points for Austin Reeves in 27 minutes. He was actually pretty efficient, 6 of 8 from the field, and he had 6 rebounds. And 9 points for Dwight Howard, the big man, rounding out the starting lineup. In 18 minutes, he was 4 of 5 from the field, and he had 6 rebounds. And off the bench for LA, they got 17 points as well from Carmelo Anthony. In 30 minutes, he was 6 of 12 from the field. He had 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals. 7 points for Stanley Johnson in 30 minutes. And then they got 6 points from Avery Bradley and 6 points as well from their recent acquisition, DJ Augustine. And as for the Spurs, they were led, as I mentioned, by DeJounte Murray. 26 points, 10 rebounds, and 8 assists. In 38 minutes, he was very efficient, 12 of 20 from the field, and he also had 3 steals and a block. Now, he did have 6 turnovers, but he was plus 17 in the plus-minus, which was the team high. So, overall, really stellar production from Murray, especially that efficiency. Then they got 18 points from Jakob Poeltl and Josh Richardson. Poeltl was 6 of 10 from the field. He had 8 rebounds, 4 assists. And Richardson was 6 of 12 from the field. He had 4 threes, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. Then they also got double-digit scoring from the other two starters. Keldon Johnson had 13 points in 32 minutes. He was 5 of 13 from the field. He had 6 rebounds, 2 assists. And Doug McDermott was 4 of 6 from the field. He had 11 points and 3 assists. And off the bench for San Antonio, they got 8 points from Jock Landale in 13 minutes, 7 points for Trey Jones, the sophomore backup point guard, in 25 minutes. He had 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. And then 7 points for Romeo Langford, 6 points for the rookie Josh Primo. He had 6 rebounds, and 3 points for Zach Collins. All right, next we can move on to Denver, where the Nuggets defeated the Golden State Warriors, 131-124. The Nuggets were led by Nikola Jokic. He had another incredible performance, another triple-double, 32 points, 15 rebounds, 13 assists, and then they also got 18 points from Monty Morris, 15 from Austin Rivers, and 18 from Jeff Green. Whereas the Warriors, with no Steph Curry, no Draymond Green, and no Klay Thompson, were led by Jordan Poole. He had 32 points in the starting lineup. He was on fire in this game, 11 of 19 from the field, 8 of 12 from 3. Incredible shooting for Poole. And then they got 30 points from Moses Moody, the rookie. He was incredible as well, 10 of 23 from the field, 5 three-pointers. So really insane shooting for Poole and Moody. But unfortunately for the Warriors, it was not enough. They got a double-double from Kevon Looney as well, 13 and 11. And Jonathan Kuminga, the other rookie, he chipped in with 16 points off the bench. He was 6 of 9 from the field. So really some encouraging performances despite this discouraging loss for the Warriors. This was a makeup game from the one that they missed on December 30th. But the Nuggets, led by the reigning MVP Nikola Jokic, were just too good down the stretch. They were actually trailing at one point. At the beginning of the third quarter, the Warriors had gotten out to a 6-point lead after a 29-foot three-pointer from Jordan Poole. It was 83-77 just a couple of minutes into the third, but the Nuggets quickly reestablished a lead themselves. They had been leading throughout the majority of the first half, and then they quickly took the lead. The Warriors' offense stagnated right after that three from Jordan Poole, and the Nuggets quickly took over the game. They got out to a 12-point lead. Nikola Jokic's driving, floating jump shot with 3 minutes to go in the third put the Nuggets up 100-88, and then they were able to maintain that lead throughout the rest of the game. The Warriors were definitely in it late. Down the stretch, it was about a 5-point game, but they just could not make any headway despite a three from Jordan Poole with 53 seconds to go that cut the deficit to 4. Nikola Jokic responded with 35 seconds left. He hit a 2 right back, and that was pretty much all she wrote in this game. And so a really gutsy, gritty win here for the Nuggets. And it was really the turnovers that was the big difference in this one. They only had 9 turnovers, whereas the Warriors had 14. They actually had a significant advantage in terms of the three-point shooting. They were 42% from beyond the arc, whereas the Nuggets were just 31%. But that ball handling was just too sloppy for the Warriors. The Nuggets were also just more efficient from the field overall, 54% versus 51% for Golden State. So with this victory, the Nuggets now improved to 39-26. So as we've touched on before, they are very tightly contested there with the Mavericks and Jazz in fourth and fifth. The Nuggets are 1 game behind the Mavs in fifth, and then they're 2.5 games up on the Timberwolves in seventh. And the Nuggets are plus 3.0 in the point differential, which is exactly sixth in the West. They're on a 3-game winning streak. They are 9-1 in their last 10 games. That is the best mark of any team over the last 10 games in the Western Conference. And as for the Warriors, this loss takes them to 43-22. So they're now in third in the Western Conference, half a game behind the Grizzlies in second, and 3.5 games up on the Jazz in fourth. So the Warriors probably not going to fall any farther than third, but they have definitely not been very encouraging lately. They're on a 5-game losing streak, and they're 2-8 in their last 10 games. All right, so we can move on now to the box score. And the Warriors were led, as I mentioned, by Jordan Poole and Moses Moody. Despite this disappointing loss, they were very encouraging. Poole had 32 points in 34 minutes. He was 11 of 19 from the field, 8 of 12 from beyond the arc. He had 3 rebounds, 7 assists, and a steal. And then Moody, the rookie, had 30 points in 36 minutes. He was 10 of 23 from the field, and he had 5 three-pointers, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. And then they also got a double-double from Kevon Looney. In 29 minutes, he had 13 points and 11 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, and 8 points from the other two starters, Juan Toscano-Anderson and Damian Lee. JTA had 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and Lee had 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. And off the bench for the Warriors, they got 16 points from the other rookie, Jonathan Kuminga. He was on fire as well, 6 of 9 from the field in 29 minutes. He had 4 rebounds, and that was it in the box score. 11 points for Quindary Weatherspoon. He was also on fire, 4 of 5 from the field in 16 minutes. And then 4 points for Chris Chioza in 29 minutes, and just 2 points for Nemanja Bjelica. He was 1 of 6 from the field in 18 minutes. And as for the Nuggets, they were, of course, led by Nikola Jokic, the reigning MVP. Incredible once again. 32 points on 12 of 17 shooting in 35 minutes. He was 8 of 14 from the free throw line, 15 rebounds, 13 assists, and 1 block. He did have 3 turnovers. He didn't attempt a three-pointer at all. He was plus 14, though, in the plus-minus. And as for the other starters, they got 18 points from Monty Morris and Jeff Green. Green was 7 of 11 from the field, and he had 5 rebounds, 1 assist. And Morris was 6 of 11 from the field. He had 2 three-pointers, 7 assists, 5 rebounds, and a steal. And then 15 points for Austin Rivers. He stuffed the stat sheet. He had 2 threes, 2 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals. And 8 points for Aaron Gordon in 28 minutes. He had 5 assists. And off the bench for the Nuggets, they got 17 points from Devon Reed in 20 minutes. He was 6 of 8 from the field, 5 of 7 from beyond the arc. He was on fire. He had 3 rebounds. And then they also got 13 points from DeMarcus Cousins, the backup big man. In just 13 minutes, he was 4 of 10 from the field, and he had 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. And then they got 4 points from Jamichael Green in 16 minutes, 4 points as well from Bones Highland, the rookie, and 2 points for Bryn Forbes. All right, and finally, we can move on to Sacramento, where the Kings were defeated by the Knicks, 131-115. The Knicks were led by Julius Randle. He was on fire in this game, a season high, a career high, in fact, 46 points, including 8 three-pointers. He had 17 points of his 46 in the third quarter. So really incredible performance from Randle carrying the team. They also got 29 from RJ Barrett and 27 off the bench from the sophomore Emmanuel Quickley. Really incredible performances from those three, Randle, Barrett, and Quickley. And then as for the Kings, they were led by De'Aaron Fox. He had 24 points, and they got 23 from Harrison Barnes. Domantas Sabonis had 19 points and 13 rebounds, but he was actually ejected from this game. And this was a devastating loss in the end for the Kings because they were leading pretty significantly early on. They had outscored the Knicks 33-17 in the first, and then they maintained a double-digit lead throughout the majority of the second quarter. In fact, it was like nearly a 20-point game. The Kings were up by 19 points with 6 minutes to go in the second quarter after a layup from De'Aaron Fox. That made it 48-29. So the Kings were in complete control of this game up until halftime, and that's when things flipped. The Knicks were totally on fire in the third quarter. They outscored the Kings 44-24. Julius Randle was just incredible. He could not miss in the third, and they not only tied the game up, but they actually took the lead heading into the fourth quarter. It was a 5-point advantage for the Knicks, and then they just kept up that pressure in the fourth. They outscored the Kings 39-28 in the fourth. So it was back and forth for a couple of minutes, but then they just took over the game. At one point, it was just raining three-pointers. Julius Randle hit one with 3:35 left, putting the Knicks up by 20. It was 121-101. And then Harrison Barnes actually responded for the Kings. He hit a 25-footer with 3:21 left on the clock. But then Julius Randle responded once again. He hit another three, re-extending that lead to 20. So really just incredible shot-making from Randle, as well as several other guys. And the Knicks just completely dominated the second half to steal this game away in Sacramento. Overall, the second half was 83-52 in favor of the Knicks. And overall, they played a really solid game. 51% shooting for New York, 42% from three, only 9 turnovers. And they also controlled the boards. They out-rebounded the Kings 47-40. Sacramento was just 34% from three and 48% from the field overall. So in pretty much every way, the Knicks were in control by the end of this game. And so with this victory, they now improved to 27-38. So they are still in 12th in the Eastern Conference. They are 3 games behind the Washington Wizards in 11th. And then they're 5.5 games up on the Pacers in 13th. And the Knicks are negative 1.5 in the point differential, which is better than the Wizards ahead of them, but not by that much. They're 3-7 in their last 10, but they are on a 2-game winning streak. And as for the Kings, this loss takes them to 24-43. So they pretty much been in a tailspin ever since the short winning streak that they went on after the Domantas Sabonis acquisition. They've been pretty terrible since then. They are 3-7 in their last 10. They're in 13th in the West, 2 games behind the Spurs in 12th, 2.5 games up on the Thunder in 14th, and they have a negative 5.1 point differential, which is 4th worst in the conference. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Knicks were, of course, led by Julius Randle. He was incredible in this game, a career-high 46 points in 34 minutes. He was 18 of 31 from the field, 8 of 16 from 3, and he had 10 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, and only 1 turnover, and he was plus 18 in the plus-minus. Really just fantastic stuff for Julius Randle. And then they also got 29 points from R.J. Barrett in 37 minutes. He was 11 of 21 from the field, and he had 3 threes, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. And then 15 points for Evan Fournier in 27 minutes. He had 3 threes. 5 points for Alec Burks in 36 minutes. He was only 2 of 9 from the field, though. He had 5 rebounds, 4 assists. And Mitchell Robinson only played 2 minutes in this game before going out with an injury. He did not score in that time. And off the bench for the Knicks, they got 27 points from the sophomore, Emmanuel Quickley. He was also on fire, 7 of 10 from the field, 3 of 5 from beyond the arc, and 10 of 11 from the free throw line. He had 6 rebounds, 4 assists, and a steal. And then 5 points for Taj Gibson, the backup big man. He had 8 rebounds and 3 blocks. And 2 points for Cam Reddish and Miles McBride. And as for the Kings, they were led, as I mentioned, by De'Aaron Fox. He had 24 points in 41 minutes. He was 10 of 18 from the field. He had 6 rebounds, 7 assists. 23 points for Harrison Barnes. He was very efficient, 7 of 11 from the field. He had 3 threes and 3 rebounds. 19 points and 13 rebounds for Domantas Sabonis. He was 6 of 13 from the field. He had 5 assists before going out of this game. Justin Holiday had 7 points in 28 minutes. He was 3 of 13 from the field, 1 of 8 from beyond the arc. And 6 points for Trey Lyles in 17 minutes. He had 2 three-pointers as well. And off the bench for the Kings, they got 13 points from Dante DiVincenzo, their recent acquisition from the Milwaukee Bucks. In 27 minutes, he was 3 of 6 from beyond the arc, and he had 3 rebounds, 4 assists. 10 points for the rookie, Davion Mitchell, in 30 minutes. He had 1 3, 2 rebounds, 3 assists. 9 points for Damian Jones in 18 minutes, and 4 points for Justin Jackson in just 4 minutes. All right, and that will do it for our box score breakdown. So we can now move on to fantasy, the standout and surprising fantasy lines of the night. And there was a couple of incredible options to pick from. Honestly, it was splitting hairs between Nikola Jokic, Luka Doncic, Joel Embiid, Julius Randle, even DeJounte Murray and Karl Anthony Towns. All of those guys were just fantastic, but we got to pick one. So first off, Towns had 27-13 in just 24 minutes. DeJounte Murray had 26-10-8. Julius Randle, of course, had the career-high 46 points. And then Joel Embiid had 43-14 in 36 minutes. Nikola Jokic had 32 points, 15 rebounds, 13 assists on an insane 12 of 17 shooting. But ultimately, we're going to go with Luka Doncic for standout line. He just had the most well-rounded, the most dominant performance. I mean, all of these guys were fantastic, but Doncic had 35 points in 38 minutes. He was 12 of 23 from the field, so pretty solid efficiency, including 5 three-pointers, and he was 6 of 7 from the free throw line. And then he had 16 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals, and a block. Now, he did have 3 turnovers, but nonetheless, the 4 combined steals and blocks, the 16 rebounds, and the 5 threes, he really just gave you a little bit of everything. So Doncic is your standout line of the night. And as for surprising line of the night, we're going to go with Marvin Bagley off the bench for the Pistons. He had a double-double, 19 points and 10 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, and a block, and he was very efficient, 9 of 16 from the field. Now, his playing time came at the expense of Isaiah Stewart. He went out with an injury, and so Bagley played basically starter's minutes. He started the second half, and he ultimately ended up with the double-double. So going forwards, obviously, if Stewart was going to miss some time, Bagley would be one of the primary beneficiaries, along with Kelly Olynyk off the bench. But given Bagley's youth, I would imagine that a tanking team such as the Pistons would rely more heavily on Bagley. So definitely, if Stewart's going to miss time, you can grab Bagley. But even if he's not, I think he could continue to put up pretty solid numbers coming off the bench. In his last game, he had 18-8 in just 22 minutes. And then in the four other games that he's played with Detroit, he's scored in double digits several times. He had 16 points and 4 rebounds against the Cavaliers on the 24th of February. So he's definitely putting up numbers in somewhat limited minutes. But like I said, if his minutes could tick upwards, he would definitely see a commensurate rise in value. So I would go ahead and grab Bagley, especially for the short term with this Stewart injury, and then see where it goes from there. He might be getting basically starter's minutes for the rest of the season. We shall see. But anyways, Bagley is your surprising line of the night, and Luka Doncic is your standout line of the night. All right, and so with that, we can move on now to our preview for tonight, Tuesday, March the 8th, and we've got 6 games on in the NBA tonight. Starting off in Orlando, the Magic are taking on the Phoenix Suns, and the Suns are -5.5. In Charlotte, the Hornets are taking on the Brooklyn Nets, and the Nets are -3.5. In Indiana, the Pacers face the Cleveland Cavaliers, and the Cavs are -3. In Memphis, the Grizzlies face the New Orleans Pelicans, and the Grizz are -5.5. In Oklahoma City, the Thunder are taking on the Milwaukee Bucks, and the Bucks are big favorites. They are -13. And finally, in San Francisco, the Warriors are facing the LA Clippers, and the Warriors are -5.5. All right, so a couple of intriguing lines here. The Warriors being -5.5 favorites over the Clippers seems interesting to me only because the Clippers have been playing very well recently. They are 7-3 in their last 10, whereas the Warriors are just abysmal. They're on a 5-game losing streak. They're 2-8 in their last 10 games. But with that being said, they're going to have Steph Curry back in this one, and I would imagine that they will be itching to break out of this losing streak at some point. So 5.5 seems a bit high to me, but I'm ultimately going to stay away from that one. I'm also very intrigued by the New Orleans Pelicans +5.5 in Memphis. That line also seems a little bit too high for similar reasons. The Grizzlies have been playing well. They are 6-4 in their last 10, but not exactly lighting the world on fire like they have been at various stretches throughout the season. They are all the way up to second, but still, 6-4 is not the best, and then they just also recently had that really weird loss to the Rockets. And the Pelicans, despite being all the way down in 10th, they're only 5-5 in their last 10 games. They lost their last one, but they've just looked like a much better team recently. CJ McCollum has definitely given them an added offensive element, and they just look like a much more potent team now. So I would frankly take the Pelicans +5.5 against almost anybody in the league right now. I'm a little bit worried about that because the Grizzlies have been a really dominant team throughout the majority of the season. I think ultimately this one's going to be a stay away from me as well, but I was really tempted by +5.5 for the Pelicans. And then I was also a little bit tempted by the Suns -5.5 in Orlando. That line just seems too low to me. The Suns, despite being a little bit shaky recently as well, they're only 7-3 in their last 10 and they lost their last one, and they're obviously still missing Chris Paul, but still, I mean, come on. It's the best team in the entire league versus the worst team in the entire league, at least by record. The Magic have a -8.1 point differential, and the Suns have a +7.7 point differential. So, yes, the Magic have been frisky recently. They're 4-6 in their last 10, but still, that line just seems a little bit too low, just because I think ultimately the most likely outcome is that the Suns will comfortably win this game, despite all of what I was saying. So I'm going to stay away from it, but it just seems a little bit odd to me. Ultimately, we just got one best bet. We're going to go with the Brooklyn Nets, -3.5 in Charlotte. Now, I know the Nets have been terrible. They're on a 4-game losing streak. They're 3-7 in their last 10. And the Hornets are, despite being 4-6 in their last 10, they're on a 2-game winning streak. But with all of that being said, I just think that the Nets are going to turn this around at some point. They've got one of the best basketball players on the entire planet in Kevin Durant, and then they should have Kyrie Irving for this one as well. And despite the fact that his presence hasn't really led to wins recently, he's still been scoring pretty efficiently. And so given the fact that they've got those two incredible players, I think the Nets will eventually turn things around. And this is a really important game. Both of these teams are 32-33, so they're both tied in the middle of the Eastern Conference here. And the Hornets, of course, just have that slight edge in terms of the tiebreaker. So given the stakes, this is a very consequential game. I think that the team that has one of the best players on the planet in Kevin Durant will ultimately prevail. So I'm going to take the Nets. I don't feel great about it, but I think they will eventually turn things around, and I think they can start here in Charlotte with this big game. So I'm going to take the Nets -3.5. All right, and that will do it for us today, so thank you so much for tuning in. If you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. We'll be back tomorrow to recap all six of those games and to preview the action for Wednesday, March the 9th. Until then, thanks for tuning in.